What if the most important decisions of your life aren't the ones you'll make at 40, but the ones you're making or avoiding right now? A 27-year-old sits in a therapist's office surrounded by friends launching careers while she's still pushing someone else's baby around in a stroller. A couple celebrates their lavish wedding after 3 years of testing their relationship through cohabitation, only to file for divorce 6 months later. A woman scrolls through social media, watching peers announce promotions and engagements, wondering why her life feels like a waiting room when it was supposed to be an adventure. These aren't random misfortunes. They're the predictable consequences of treating your 20s like a rehearsal instead of opening night. Identity capital is everything you accumulate that makes you. The skills on resumes, but also how you handle conflict, communicate under pressure, or recover from failure. Helen spent years collecting experiences that looked interesting on Instagram, but translated to nothing in job interviews. Yoga retreats and nanny gigs felt like freedom, but they built capital in a currency nobody wanted to trade. Not all exploration is equal. Erickson, who coined identity crisis, wasn't advocating aimless wandering. By 25, he was teaching while studying. By 30, he had credentials that launched a legendary career. The difference between productive exploration and expensive procrastination is whether you're building something transferable. Two-thirds of lifetime wage growth happens in your first decade of work. Your salary typically peaks in your 40s. The job you take at 24 shapes the income you'll earn at 44. When Helen finally chose the animation studio, she wasn't just picking a paycheck. She was choosing which version of herself would exist a decade later. The author's book deal came from a shipping error that sparked a conversation with an editor. Your close friends offer love and support, but zero new information. They know the same people and hear about the same opportunities. It's your weak ties, the former professor, the friend of a friend, the colleague from 3 years ago, who connect you to entirely different worlds. Research shows roughly 80% of jobs come through people you barely know. Cole escaped a low-ambition friend group when a high school acquaintance connected him to a startup, doubling his salary and plugging him into a network of ambitious professionals who expanded his sense of possibility. Benjamin Franklin understood this instinctively. After borrowing a rare book from a political opponent, the man became friendly and helpful. The key isn't collecting business cards. It's making specific, researched requests. Not, "Can you help me find a job?" but, "I noticed you transitioned from engineering to consulting. Could you share what surprised you about that shift?" Your 20s are ideal for building these bridges because networks naturally narrow with age. Most people genuinely enjoy helping 20-somethings. There's a documented helper's high from being generous, but you have to ask clearly and strategically. Talia called it a nervous breakdown. 2 years post-graduation, she was lonely in San Francisco, comparing her reality to everyone's highlight reel on Facebook. She'd been sold a lie, not just by social media, but by a culture that romanticizes your 20s as carefree and magical. The truth? These years are often uncertain, difficult, and disorienting. Social media has become social surveillance, endlessly comparing your behind the scenes to everyone's curated showreel. The real trap is what Karen Horney called the tyranny of the should, external expectations masquerading as your own standards. You should have an exciting career, should be traveling, should have it figured out. These shoulds create false binaries between perfection and failure, paralyzing you with the sense that anything less than ideal is worthless. Talia found meaningful work by investing in what was actually in front of her. Later, she confronted another should, believing she needed an eat-pray-love adventure when she actually wanted to move to Tennessee near family. When her 30-something neighbor reacted with jealousy to Talia's Nashville job, it confirmed something crucial. Waiting doesn't make decisions easier. You're just struggling with the same questions a decade later. Your brain reaches full size before your 20s, but wiring matters more than size. During this decade, your frontal lobe undergoes a second major growth spurt, producing thousands of new neural connections before ruthlessly pruning what you don't use. The jobs you take, relationships you form, and challenges you face aren't just resume items. They're carving neural pathways that determine how you'll think and act for decades. MRI studies show 20-something brains react more intensely to criticism, with heightened amygdala activity. That sensitivity isn't a curse. It's your brain learning rapidly from difficult experiences. The key isn't avoiding stress, but building resilience through mastery experiences, concrete moments of success when things are hard. Confidence doesn't emerge from positive thinking. It develops through actual achievements. People with growth mindsets consistently outperform those who think talent is innate. The person who quits when work gets difficult confirms their fear of inadequacy. The person who pushes through develops neural pathways for resilience. 10 years later, these aren't just different resumes, they're different brains. Universities teach postmodern literature, but nothing about choosing a spouse, life's most consequential decision. 20-somethings spend more time single than any generation, yet 50% of Americans marry by 30. The public conversation fixates on hookup culture, but privately, nearly everyone wants lasting partnership. What's missing isn't desire, it's strategy. Jennifer lived with Carter for 3 years before their lavish wedding. 6 months later, she filed for divorce. Her story reflects the cohabitation effect. Couples who live together before marriage are 33% more likely to divorce. They had slid into living together without deliberate decision-making. Their arrangement centered on good sex, fun weekends, cheaper rent, rather than testing serious aspects like finances or family planning. Cohabitation creates consumer lock-in, the decreased likelihood of changing course after making an investment. Breaking up means dividing furniture, pets, shared friends. These switching costs grow heavier with age. Jennifer realized Carter was a great 20-something boyfriend, but no 30-something husband. Marrying after your teen years protects against divorce, but only until about 25. After that, age doesn't predict success. The age 30 deadline creates a problematic shift, dismissing serious relationships in your 20s, then panicking at 30 and marrying the closest chair. The 20s should be for developing relationship skills and being selective, not waiting until panic sets in. A sign outside Rocky Mountain National Park reads, "Mountains don't care," a stark reminder that nature doesn't adjust to your intentions. Like mountains, adulthood responds only to your preparation and choices, not your good intentions. Almost every 20-something wonders, "Will things work out for me?" Yet many drift through these years believing they're merely rehearsing for real life. Developmental research reveals otherwise. There's no universal formula for a good life, but there are clear patterns. Female fertility peaks in the late 20s. 2/3 of lifetime wage growth happens in your first decade of work. The relationships and skills you develop now create neural pathways, shaping how you'll think and act for decades. When asking a ranger about a challenging mountain crossing, "Am I going to make it?" the answer revealed a profound truth. You haven't decided yet. The future isn't predetermined. There are no guarantees, but there are probabilities you can influence through preparation and action. Every day, every decision, you are actively deciding your life right now.